Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up, it's Good Mornings on the Go at opening day of the Hancock County Fair. We have details on what's new and what to see and do this year. Plus, the fair is the community's premier agricultural showcase, and it wouldn't be able to happen without the dedication of local businesses such as Legacy Farmers Cooperative. It's going to be a hot one, though. We'll talk about recognizing the signs that the heat is getting the best of you. And eventually the fall weather will settle in, and when it does, there are plenty of reasons to get outdoors in September with the Hancock Park District. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. So you're wondering, because we're coming up on the Labor Day weekend, you're wondering what the fall and the winter weather is going to be like. It's going to be very hot for fair week, but that is a precursor to a cold, wet, and snowy winter. This according to the Farmer's Almanac. Now, again, this is, I want to make sure that we are very clear about this. This is the Farmer's Almanac, not the old Farmer's Almanac. Two different competing almanacs. And I don't know what the old Farmer's Almanac says. Generally, I like to find out what the old Farmer's Almanac says. But this is the Farmer's Almanac, which is nearly as old as the old Farmer's Almanac. But it is not the old Farmer's Almanac. The Farmer's Almanac says Ohioans need to be ready for a cold, wet, and snowy winter. Predicts that the Ohio region will see its most active weather in the last week of January, when a very active storm will bring gusty winds, cold temperatures, and heavy precipitation. Until then, the Farmer's Almanac, not the old Farmer's Almanac, but the Farmer's Almanac, predicts that Ohio will have a frosty and wet fall season. So wet and frosty. Nothing like that this week for the Hancock County Fair, that is to be sure. It is going to be extremely warm. And all kidding aside, it is going to be very hot. If you're going to be here at the fair today, and we would love to see you at the Hancock County Fair, make sure that you stay plenty hydrated. 36% of parents in a new survey say that they struggle to keep their kids hydrated during the summer. Because kids, you know, they don't recognize the dangers. And, you know, parents got to be on their toes for this, but more than one-third of parents say this is a struggle. 56% of parents do provide water whenever possible, but getting the kids to take a break and drink, 46% lead by example, which is always the best policy for parents. Lead by example by drinking water regularly yourself. 38% always bring a reusable water bottle with them wherever they go. You will need one at the fair today. Heidi Carney, True Citrus, says, and again, this is their business, but it is some good advice. Adding a flavored water enhancer can help kids stay hydrated while enjoying every sip. But you definitely want to encourage good water drinking habits and the importance of staying hydrated on a day like today. No question. Just put that out there. This, I thought, was kind of interesting. Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, it seems that Ohioans might not live as long as residents of other states. A new report from the CDC shows that life expectancy in the Buckeye State is lower than most other states in the country. This is disturbing. Report shows that across the country, the average life expectancy is 76.4 years, but in Ohio, it is just over 74 years old. So we're getting shorted by almost 2.5 years. Nationally, the expectancy averages have gone down since the COVID-19 pandemic. You remember that was one of the big narratives during the pandemic. It was impacting life expectancy all over the country. But especially in states like Ohio and Mississippi, which has the lowest life expectancy at 70.9 years of age. So I guess we can take solace in the fact that we're not Mississippi, but it's kind of interesting. One thing is for sure, we are not shortening our lives because we are working too much. The state of Ohio, near the bottom of the list of hardest working states in the U.S. This is the latest compilation report from WalletHub. They compared all 50 states based on factors like the average hours per work week and the number of workers with multiple jobs, the annual volunteer hours per resident, average leisure time spent per day, the overall employment rate. And they crunched all the numbers, and they say that North Dakota is the hardest working state in the U.S., North Dakota. Alaska ranked second, followed by Nebraska, Wyoming, and South Dakota. So those are the top five. The bottom three in reverse order, dead last, is West Virginia. Then just above that, New York. And then Michigan. Third from the bottom, Michigan. But before you go pointing fingers and making fun of the folks in Michigan, know that Ohio was number 42 on the list. So we're not doing too hot either in terms of hardest working. Or maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I mean, depends really on how you look at it, I guess, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But Ohio, number 42. And lastly here, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, this is a perfect story for the Hancock County Fair. It says an increase in demand for sausage could be a sign of consumers tightening up on their budgets. This, the demand for sausage is this apparently a big economic indicator, according to the Dallas Federal Reserve's Texas Manufacturing Outlook Survey. It was released yesterday and says there has been modest growth in the dinner sausage category. Demand for sausage tends to go up, they say, when the economy weakens, as consumers see it as a good protein substitute for higher-priced proteins. It's more affordable, and so sausage sales rise when the economy weakens. The Dallas Fed's survey notes that agriculture is hurting in general due to issues such as higher costs and weather, higher input costs, and obviously weather. It's always a big concern for agriculture and the ag industry. In an Economist YouGov poll earlier this month, a majority of voters said the economy was one of the top issues of 2024, obviously. So people concerned about that, and the ag industry concerned about that. I'm sure that the cows behind me like to hear the news that sausage sales is going up. We are here, day number one of the Hancock County Fair, right in front of the Cattlemen's Association building here. And right where we normally are on the patio, where we can see everything happening or will soon be happening. Our show from the Hancock County Fair this morning, a service of Legacy Farmers Cooperative. And there you go, some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started here. Well, as we mentioned, our show is originating from the Hancock County Fair, really for the rest of the week, and our broadcast today made possible by the folks at Legacy Farmers Cooperative. Chris Berger is with us. He is a petroleum sales specialist for Legacy Farmers Cooperative, which we'll talk about here in just a bit. Chris, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Always kind of fun. We were talking before we went on the air about how it's fun to be out here this time of the morning, kind of see the fairgrounds come to life, especially first day of the Hancock County Fair. It's a big deal for a lot of
absolutely.
Folks.
Absolutely. I'm going to have a big crowd today, we hope, Chris.
And Legacy is everywhere at the fairgrounds, as you might expect, because this is a big deal for your business, obviously.
Yeah, very big deal. We try to focus on the farming community and just absolutely love the service that we can provide them.
Yeah, it's kind of like almost like your Super Bowl. This is where everybody gathers that really is the heart of your clientele. And for those that don't know, we'd say the Legacy Farmers Cooperative. For those who are not in the agriculture industry, explain what that means. Is it kind of set up sort of like the electric cooperative that maybe we're familiar with?
Yeah, you can put it that way. But, okay. You know, our goal is to help out every farmer out there and just get them the most money that they can get out of their crops and, mm-hmm. you know, give them cheap prices, especially on petroleum products.
Yeah. Again, not really a whole lot of areas of the agriculture industry that Legacy is not involved in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. You know, we got our agronomy divisions, then the petroleum itself, and we actually got a lawn and pet store as well.
Right, which I know a lot of folks would be familiar with, the retail location out there. Talk a little bit about what you do in terms of petroleum sales. We think petroleum, like fuel for all of those big machineries.
You got it, Chris. It's fuel for everything. Actually, at our terminals in Findlay and Vanter, sorry, Findlay and Fostoria, we got 87 gas, 89 gas, ethanol-free gas, the E0 gas for your boats and lawnmowers and things like that. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, diesel on-road, and we can supply off-road diesel to farmers as well.
That's a part of this that, you know, sometimes I think we don't think about in terms of the fuel that it takes to run all of those machines that we see in the fields in the spring and the fall.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Keeps the ag world moving.
And what is the state? I'm just going to pick your brain a little bit. We were talking, as a matter of fact, by the way, today, National Petroleum Day. I don't know if you knew that, but so, you know, you should celebrate. Have a party today.
Yeah.
What is the status of that part of the industry right now?
Well, I know there's some hesitation with the electronic cars and trucks and whatnot.
Right.
You know, I personally don't think it's going to affect this area a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the bigger cities, but... Yeah. I think in Hancock County and the surrounding counties, it's not that big of an issue.
You know, and world geopolitics being what they are, there's a lot of nervousness about what's happening in places like the Middle East and so on. Obviously, always impacts petroleum prices, crude oil prices, and so on. Something that you pay very close attention to as well, I was
imagine. Oh, yeah. It's like a yo-yo. Right now, fuel's relatively cheap. Gas keeps going down. Hopefully it stays that way. I wouldn't hold my breath, though.
Yeah, yeah. And it's beyond just fuel. You're talking all of the other petroleum-based products
absolutely. Yeah, we do sell a lot of oils and DEF to not only farmers, but industrial clients as well. You know, your contractors, your... landscapers, even your factories. We sell a lot of fuel and oils and DEF to them.
Yeah. So again, Legacy Farmers Cooperative making our broadcast possible here at the fair. And there's not, you're going to see Legacy pretty much everywhere here at the fair. There's not any aspect of agriculture that they are not involved in. And since this is the kind of premier agricultural exposition for Hancock County, you are here. If folks have any questions or want to learn more about what it is that you do, have a website. That's probably the easiest way for folks to find out more.
Go to our website. That's legacyfarmers.com. Another thing you can do, you know, if you got a petroleum question, you can ask me. And my phone number is 419-306-1217. Or you can call our petroleum office at 419-425-3835.
And, of course, visit Legacy Lawn and Pet and the Fuel Center up there on the east side as well. Chris Berger, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Want to take a moment and talk about this because, as we have mentioned, it is going to be a scorcher today here at the Hancock County Fair. And the most deadly weather danger is the heat. It's not tornadoes, not hurricanes, not floods, not even lightning. It's the heat. And We're going to have plenty of that, not only today, but really all week. Earlier in the summer, when we were experiencing similar weather conditions back in June, you remember how warm it was for a while? We spoke with Jennifer Campbell from Physicians Plus about how to recognize the signs when someone is suffering the effects of the heat and how to help.
Is there a cumulative effect of all of this? I mean, I know psychologically there is a cumulative effect of having day after day after day of extreme heat, but physically, does that have a cumulative effect on the body as well?
That can definitely have an effect, especially if you're not getting any sort of relief in between your exposures to heat. Those who are particularly prone to having some side effects from all this heat exposure are those who are more chronically ill, the elderly, small children. They have a harder time combating this heat. So if they've got that constant exposure without any relief in a cool space, air conditioning, then yes, this is going to affect quite a toll on them.
So what is the guidance? I mean, what is the best advice for minimizing that exposure?
The best advice I could give you is make some lifestyle changes. Eat smaller and lighter meals. Mm-hmm. Less protein actually would be a very good thing to consider, because protein increases your metabolic rate, which increases the internal heat within your body. Mm. So if you have those lighter, smaller meals, you wear some cooler clothing, lighter clothing. You think about maybe decaf this week and have fluids that are more electrolyte rich, water, Gatorade, liquid IV, Pedialyte. Just making those subtle lifestyle changes can make a huge difference this week to combat the heat.
You mentioned hydration. That is so important. We say it all the time. Make sure you stay properly hydrated. But what is the definition of proper hydration? How much and what kind of hydration is best?
It's different per person how much you need to drink. You know, it's all about body mass. But a good rule of thumb is to drink at least 8 glasses of water a day. And, you know, water doesn't just come from drinking that glass straight in front of you. It can also come from the foods that you're eating, the drinks that you're drinking. But you need to remember that the drinks that you're drinking can also dehydrate you. And that's why I recommend, you know, stay away from the alcohol this week, switch to decaf, because both of those things are actually diuretics. They're going to cause you to actually urinate more. You're losing water if you drink those things. So consider the things that you're putting in your body this week.
Something that I hadn't really given much thought to, some of the medications that people may be on may have side effects that make it more difficult to deal with the extreme heat.
That's absolutely right. Different medications are already acting as diuretics. So those who are, you know, battling chronic illnesses and not experiencing those side effects with their medications because they're well balanced, and now we have this higher heat combating mm-hmm. everything, adding to it, you know, it would be a very wise decision to just call your family doctor if you're concerned at all and discuss with them, you know, your medications and your concerns so that they can help you to kind of alter what you need to do. And those who are chronically ill, you know, we really just got to make sure that, you know, they're staying in touch with their family doctor if they're not feeling quite right, because, you know, they may have some of those subtle effects of dehydration.
Let's talk about some of these signs that someone is in distress. What are we looking for to know if maybe we ourselves or somebody that we are with has overdone it a bit?
So we actually range, you know, of course, with anything. There's a range of this is a very mild reaction to this is a life-threatening reaction. Those mild reactions are going to be the typical things that you feel. You're a little bit tired. Maybe you have a very mild headache. You actually feel thirsty. You're still sweating. Your body temperature feels like it's elevating, but if you were to take your temperature is normal. So that's just the mild sort of version. You get into a shady spot, you feel better. The more severe signs that you need to keep an eye out for, these are things that now are going into the definition of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Heat exhaustion being the milder version and heat stroke being the much more severe version. So heat exhaustion, you're going to sweat still. You may experience some nausea. You might be starting to vomit. You could have more severe headaches, you're getting real tired and weak. You know, you may start to notice your heart rate's increasing and you're breathing faster. This is your body trying to get rid of that excess heat. Now, at this point, you could get a little bit dizzy, but all of these things will improve if you go into a shady and cool spot, drink small sips of water within about 30 minutes.
Okay.
If you are not seeing that improvement in 30 minutes, then we are going to start worrying. We want to get you into the hospital and consider just IV hydration.
You mentioned the different levels. So we talk about heat stress, heat exhaustion. What are the signs that we are getting into that real danger zone of heat stroke?
Yes. Now, at this point, your body temperature is elevated on the inside. Heat exhaustion, you are going to elevate maybe to 104. Just so you're aware, a fever with heat exhaustion is possible, but that goes away in 30 minutes with treatment. Heat stroke, your body temperature will be 104, 105. You're going to be confused, delirious. You could hallucinate, have seizures. You're not going to be walking straight. Your speech is going to be altered. Heart rate's up. Breathing's up. You're going to be feeling really sick. Your skin might also be dry. You may stop sweating. Your body is no longer able to get rid of that excess heat for you.
Yeah.
You also may be vomiting, diarrhea. It's not going to improve just sitting in the shade and drinking small sips of water.
You talk about some of the actions to take when someone is in distress. What about the actions not to take? I've often heard that there are things that you don't want to do to somebody who's suffering from the effects of the heat that can actually make things worse.
The most important thing is to get them into a cool space and loosen their clothing. You're not going to want to pile on. They may shiver. Don't pile things onto them. That may seem common sense, but when someone's shaken with fever, we tend to put blankets on them. That's not what you want to do. You want to remove clothing, loosen clothing. You don't want to put them into an ice bath. You don't want to give them ice water. You don't want to have them chug fluids. It's those small, small sips that are important. And then if they're feeling really nauseous and like, oh my gosh, I'm going to vomit, stop the water. Because if we do have someone vomit, they've lost all this good fluid inside of their body. So we've actually worsened the situation.
And when we talk about, you know, some of these warning signs and it's time to seek professional health, get to the emergency room, we're not talking at some point in the future. This becomes a medical emergency.
Absolutely. You've got someone you think may have heat stroke, you just call 911.
And again, as you were mentioning, if you have any questions, if you're not sure, it's one of those things you're better off to err on the side of caution.
Absolutely. Heat exhaustion and heat stroke are life-threatening. So you don't want to shrug these off. You don't want to say, oh, they'll be better soon.
Yeah.
You definitely want to. You take those precautions.
Again, our conversation with Jennifer Campbell. She is a PA at Physicians Plus on recognizing the signs when someone is feeling the effects of the heat, when someone is in trouble, how to help, how not to help, all very important stuff. I'll tell you what, here at the Hancock County Fair, the shaved ice, the lemon shake-ups, the ice cream, going to be very, very popular today, to be sure. We are live at the Hancock County Fair opening day. And I'll tell you what, the OSU Extension is going to be a very busy place. We have not one, but two folks from the OSU Extension with us. Ed Lentz is here, first of all. How many years is this for you, the Hancock County Fair?
Well, I've been in Finley's for 27 years, so this would be my 27th year at the Hancock County Fair.
And I mean, before that?
Before that, I would have been in Indiana. So
they don't have county fairs in Indiana?
Not like they do in Ohio.
Really?
I mean,
a whole different animal.
It's here. More. They do have county fairs, but it is a whole different animal. I mean, the fair tradition is a very unique thing in Ohio.
Yeah.
I don't care how small the county, how poor or profitable or blessed the counties are.
Yeah.
The fair is in every county. I mean, 88 of them. So if someone says they make all the fairs, I'm impressed in Ohio. And of course, they spread.
I know a woman who did that once, like in 1 year, visited all 88 county fairs.
They spread them out so you don't have adjacent counties.
Yeah.
And you always hear about the Toledo goes to Fulton County Fair. Mm. Well, I've never been to Fulton County Fair because it's always the same weekend as our fair.
And you got to be here because is the place to be.
You bet.
And all kinds of things going on. Jennifer Little is also here from the Hancock County OSU Extension. I'm going to slide the microphone over there and give Jennifer a chance to talk because, as we were mentioning, you guys at Extension are very busy during the entirety of the fair here.
Yes, Chris. Thank you very much for having me this morning. So in the past couple of years, I've been with Extension here in Hancock County for 3 years, and ever since I've got on board, we've decided that we would do some family-friendly programming in the Youth Pavilion building. Yes, we've got wonderful kids that are very, very busy with 4-H, but we also want to introduce families that maybe aren't so familiar with what we do, or give kids that are hanging out at the fair all week something fun that they can do a little bit out of the heat and out of the barns.
Yeah. So you've got a couple of things that are happening today involving family and consumer sciences, right?
Yes. Yes. This morning we have, and every morning, today through Friday, we'll have family fun with FCS at 11 a.m. in the Youth Pavilion. And today we're going to be making market bags. We've got canvas bags. Kids are going to decorate themselves. That way they can have reusable bags they can take to a farmer's market, take to school, take wherever they want to, go to the merchant's building and pick up all kinds of goodies.
All those freebies, yeah.
Yes, yes. So that's what we've got going on. We'll talk a little bit about sustainability and that kind of stuff, and the kids will be making market bags. And then at 1 o'clock, the kids will be exploring the 4-H's. So they've tried to emphasize all of the different 4-H's for the different 4-H activities in the Youth Pavilion this every afternoon at 1. And today they're making elephant toothpaste. Our 4-H folks do a lot with STEM. And they're going to be making, it's very, very fun. We tried it out in the office. It is, it's hilarious. If
elephant toothpaste.
Elephant toothpaste.
Do we get a lot of demand for elephant toothpaste around these parts?
Actually, not so much. Not so much in Northwest Ohio. But actually, it's a kind of a chemical reaction that they can learn about chemistry.
Fun.
And then they get to shoot up. You know, this paste that looks like toothpaste. It's absolutely hilarious.
Oh, wow.
So the kids will have a good time with that.
So it'll be an activity and a show.
Yeah. Yes. 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 Bring your family.
But have your phone cameras ready.
Yes,
for
yes,
this. You will want to capture the moment.
Definitely,
there
will be some photo ops, for sure, for sure.
Like you said, it's every day there are things going on.
Yep, at 11 and 1, all the weekdays, and then on Saturday, the Junior Fair has a coloring contest in the Youth Pavilion, but we still have our 1 o'clock afternoon, and we're actually going to do some fun with dairy. We have a lot of dairy in Ohio. Mm-hmm. People think, you know, a lot of kids don't know where their milk comes from and their ice cream comes from. They're farmers hard at work that make that happen. And they're going to talk a little bit about that and get to sample some area dairy foods.
Yeah. Ed, just real quickly to wrap things up, and I want to mention this because, and we've talked about it before, the fair is the premier agricultural exposition and really is a chance. I mean, for all of the food and the rides and all of the other fun stuff that goes on at the fair, it is a chance to highlight what those in agriculture do and share that with the rest of the community.
Well, it's a great tradition here. It reminds everybody of our heritage. Besides oil being a big thing in this county, agriculture is a big thing. And this is a great time for a fair. You got things from your vegetable garden you can show. Mm-hmm. It's a distraction for the farmers worried about their crops because they can't do anything now anyway.
Right.
So for about 5 to 7 days a week, they can enjoy themselves and not worry about grain prices and weather and other things out there in the field.
Yeah. And as we always say, when you see the exhibitors, whether they're youth exhibitors or adult exhibitors with their projects or whatever, talk to them about it because they love talking about their projects, whether it's animals or, you know, any of the 4-H stuff. They love talking about the pride
and the kids and what they've learned. Mm-hmm. And now they can show people. And of course, the animal they're showing is her buddy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like two friends going out for showtime.
Right.
And it's really nice. I mean, if you're looking at the sheep this morning right now, they're over there grooming them. I think you could get a haircut if you went over there at the sheep people as they're working at the sheep right now.
I could use one. Again, Jennifer Little and Ed Lentz with the Hancock County OSU Extension here with us at the Hancock County Fair as we get things going for the week. Guys, thanks very much for dropping by. We
appreciate it. You're
welcome. Thanks for having us.
I guess we could say plenty of hot fun this week at the Hancock County Fair. Levi Beagle is with us this morning. Talk a little bit about some of what's happening at the fair. Obviously, Levi, the biggest news out of the fair is the change of the schedule. I mean, we're here on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday talking about opening day. And I know we've talked about this before, but kind of explain the decision to move the opening day up and change the schedule of the fair.
Yeah, there was a lot of thought and time went into changing up the schedule, because in my mind it's messing with my head that the days I'm figured on being here, but
all
now we're here.
All day long, you're gonna think it's Wednesday.
Exactly. But the thought was to spread some shows out so we didn't have multiple shows on top of each other in the same building.
Uh-huh.
Give the kids a better opportunity to show and obviously get home earlier on Monday. That was always our biggest gripe from parents, is that the kids were
right.
So tired from the fair week, and then they go right back to school. So
yeah, especially for a lot of the county schools that will start classes on Tuesday, you want them well rested for that first day.
Yep.
So that's the biggest change. I mean, kind of overarching change is that Monday there's really not a whole lot going on. There's a livestock sale still on Monday. But that's really pretty much it, right?
Yeah, the demo derby will continue, or the figure eight race, I think, is on Monday. But there will still be some motorsports events. But, yeah, basically up front here, once the sale's over, we're going home and packing up, and post-fair depression kicks in for me. So,
so for the most part, in terms of the big shows, the big entertainment, a lot of the stuff has just kind of been bumped up by a day, right?
Yes. It's Wednesday will be the Calf Scramble Now. Thursday is our free country concert we're having up here, thanks to Old Mill Stream Credit Union. So that's free show with paid admission to the fair. So we're really excited about that. Hope the weather holds for us. But just everything kind of shifted around just a little bit. So just
And we'll talk about a couple of the highlights for today, as we mentioned the rodeo and the North Grandstand and the County Band Show, which, again, highlight of opening day will be happening later.
Yep, the band show is always well attended, Grandma and Grandpa. If you can come out and watch the kids march, we'll have that as usual. So that's always the first day. So,
A number of promotions, like, for example, today, if folks get here early enough, it's free admission to the fair, right?
Yes, in for free by three is the promotion today. So,
absolutely. So get out here and start taking in all of the activities of the fair. Again, a lot of the schedule for today looks pretty much like Wednesday in the past. Opening day of the fair is just going to be happening on Tuesday. And one of the things that you will notice when you get out here is there's a lot new. I know every year there's something new at the fairgrounds, but there during the off season have been a lot of upgrades this year.
Yes, we've been busy this summer upgrading. We have a full slate scheduled for as soon as the fair is over to improve things. But the paging booth has been moved, so that opened up the midway. We made a relaxation area with shade cloth and tables up there, so that'll be nice to beat the heat a little bit with.
I saw the new mural on the side of the Merchants Building.
Yep,
up there.
Yep, that mural is fantastic. I encourage everybody to come out and take a picture in front of that and check it out. We had a local artist do that, and she did a phenomenal job, and Farm Bureau was kind enough to sponsor that for us, so yeah, it turned out really well.
And the reason why you can make all of those improvements up there at the main plaza at the top of the midway is because the junior fair junior fair headquarters has been moved.
Yep, we got rid of the old trailer that was up there and converted the old chicken barn into the junior fair building, and it turned out awesome. The kids have a great space, they can get in out of the heat, relax, and just regroup for the day and have everything organized right here in the hub of where all the livestock areas.
Yeah, that's one of the big pluses, is that they're really centrally located with all of the things that'll be going on, the legacy building here, the cattlemen's, and all of that. So they're right in the heart of it.
Yep, it's working out well so far. The kids seem to enjoy the space, and it'll just be a nice area for people to come in and get their premium money and embrace the area.
Yeah, it is absolutely beautiful. Wonderful work that has been done throughout the fairgrounds. Now, if folks want to get in, as we mentioned, it's in for free by 3. If you can't get here by 3, best idea for tickets is to get those online, right?
Correct. Yep. Just go on our website and follow the links, and they'll get you set up and get your QR code and get right in the gate.
It should be noted that not every not every gate will accept cash. So there are only a handful of gates that will accept cash.
Yeah, there. I mean, more than we have in the past. There's still cash gates on the fish lock entrance and a few other the big gates, but some of them are strictly online sales.
And by the way, that actually brings up the point, and this is not really new. Still, general admission is off the fish lock gate, right?
Yep.
Parking and all of that.
Yep, that's our main gate, the fish lock entrance. So
very good. We've got a link up on our webpage for more information about everything that's going on at the fair schedule, how you can get tickets in advance and all of that. You can go to goodmornings.net and find that there. And again, Levi Beagle, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and I hope everyone can make it out today.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM. We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
In today's broken news from the Hancock County Fair, you can hear the fair coming to life in the background here. I love this time of the day at the Hancock County Fair, just to watch everything get going, especially on day one. And the broken news today. They always say, when it comes to pets, adopt, don't shop. But sometimes even adopting can get you into trouble. A fight between two Florida women over the right to adopt a dog took an ugly turn when one of them pulled out a gun on the other. She really wanted that dog. Due to conflicting stories about the incident, no arrests have been made, but the investigation continues. Apparently, Dominique Amorosa, the owner of the Rags to Riches Animal Rescue, tells local news reporters that the incident occurred during a meeting with a prospective adopter who was interested in a two-year-old rescue pug named Bluey. After being told that she would not be a good fit for the animal, the woman refused to give the dog back and pulled out a gun, which, when you think about it, is not exactly a convincing argument in her favor. You know what I mean? I don't know why this woman thought she wouldn't be a good fit to adopt the dog. She seems like such a stable individual. Police are investigating the incident as an aggravated assault. Again, no arrests have been made as of yet. Speaking of animals, this from the International File. In Germany, they have a raccoon problem. The raccoon population in Germany has skyrocketed in recent years, and people now are fed up with the pesky critters raiding their kitchen in search of food and beverages, particularly stealing their beer. Even the raccoons in Germany like beer. Apparently, raccoons do love a good brew. As it happens, drunk raccoon sightings are not uncommon in Deutschland. In 2019, a visibly drunk raccoon was seen stumbling around the markets in the city of Erfurt after imbibing a little too much mulled wine from discarded cups at Christmas time. So this has been a long-standing problem, but it's really getting to the tipping point at this point because they're breaking into homes and stealing people's beer. I mean, now we've got a serious problem. While the German Hunting Association has been attempting to thin the herd of raccoons over the past year, some people say folks will just have to learn to live with them. And, of course, hide your beer. Drunken raccoons in Germany. That is awesome. I love it. Let's see. Did you happen to see this? I saw pictures of this online the other day. Apparently, for whatever reason, in the skies above Atlanta this past Friday, a drone projection, drone light show of Steve Harvey lit up the sky. Yeah, the talk show host and the television personality, Steve Harvey. Apparently, somebody launched a drone light display. And it was a profile of an image of Steve Harvey, a portrait of Steve Harvey, in the skies above Atlanta. And no word on exactly what this was all about. Folks online speculated that the drone show celebrated Invest Fest, which featured Steve Harvey as a speaker. Commenters noted that the projection resembles a spider with Steve Harvey's head. So I don't know. But just it just seemed very random that an image of Steve Harvey lighting up the sky over Atlanta the other night on Friday. So, if you haven't seen it, it is just weird. Let's see. A couple of other items from the broken news this morning. The man arrested for trying to blow up two ATMs in San Diego has appeared in court for the first time. Sun Nguyen was arrested in Mira Mesa and charged with trying to blow up two ATMs in University City and Rancho Bernardo in the San Diego area. The U.S. Attorney's Office said he tried to use batteries, a hose, and plastic containers with homemade explosives to open up the machines, presumably to get the money inside. He instead just put a dent in one of the machines. That was about it. There was not really a whole lot of damage, was not able to get into the ATMs. And to make matters worse, apparently he forgot that ATMs have cameras because not only did he not get any money, the FBI found him using surveillance video and the images of his car's registration from the ATM cameras. Not the brightest criminal out there. Let's see. Another item from the international file. Authorities in Switzerland are trying to retrieve old munitions that were thrown into the idyllic lakes of the country. They just tossed old munitions into the lakes. A competition has now been launched to gather ideas on how to remove the old munitions, and the three best entries will share a prize of 50,000 Swiss francs, worth about $57,000. The munitions, some of which were surplus, faulty, or outdated, were tossed into lakes in Switzerland, Lake Thun, Lake Bierns, and Lake Lucerne, between 1918 and 1964. You're still at the bottom of the lakes. That just doesn't seem very safe. Just doesn't seem very safe somehow. If you've got any ideas on how to get the munitions out of the lakes. Wow. And finally, in the broken news, a set of parents in Hollister, California got a scare after their two-year-old daughter was accidentally served alcohol instead of apple juice at a local restaurant, landing her in the emergency room. Two-year-old got drunk. This is kind of like the raccoons. Apparently, they're dining out, and her parents thought something was up when they got home and noticed the toddler staggering and slurring her words. Now, she's going to be okay. So, you know, this does have a happy ending, and it'll be a story someday for this little girl and her parents. But they took her to the emergency room when they noticed her staggering and slurring her words, and a blood alcohol test revealed a level of 0.12. So she was legally inebriated and then some. Turns out the restaurant manager explained what happened. Apparently, there was some wine that was being stored inside a large container labeled apple juice. And that's why the server made the mistake. They ordered apple juice, and I don't know, how crazy is this? You'd think there would be apple juice in the apple juice container, but no, it was wine. The girl's family is urging parents to taste what is served to their kids, just in case. And I might suggest that for restaurants, you don't store wine in the apple juice container. I mean, that does seem rather basic. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger, put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This message provided by WFIN.
Now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Now, this should not apply to anyone in Hancock County this week. But if you are like many Americans, chances are you think your life is pretty boring. This is a new survey of 2,000 people that was conducted by Talker Research. 27% of Americans say that they are in a rut. Now, it's not all bad. 36% of those in the poll say they have only gotten more adventurous as they have gotten older. 42 is the perfect age, they say, to do something new. 42, the perfect age to do something new, travel-wise. And by the way, this poll conducted on behalf of the RV company Storyteller Overland. 83% say you're never too old to do something to get out of that rut. To that end, 46% say anything that gets them out of their daily routine is an adventure, so you don't exactly, you know, have to, you know, travel far and wide to reap the benefits. 30% say just leaving that daily grind makes them appreciate life more, which is perfect for the fair. You can spend the week out here, get out of that rut, do something different, spend the week at the fair. 34% say that when they travel, they chase warm weather. 30, autumn is coming. 33% just want a change of scenery. 33% want to go on a trip with family. In fact, the survey goes on to say the average American thinks about getting away four times a day, and a majority of Americans from all age groups, from millennials to baby boomers, take 4 to 5 trips a year. So, just kind of interesting. 25%, 1 in 4 Americans believe that their life is pretty boring. Again, should not be a problem this week. Plenty to do at the Hancock County Fair. Just sliding in here. We're going to talk Hancock Park District stuff here at the fair. Michelle Rumschlag is with us, and you are here. There's stuff going on at the fair. You actually have stuff going on at the fair, right?
We do have a table with information. So yeah. We're in the conservation tent, the fish tank. Everybody knows where the fish tank is. So we've got a display. It's showing all of our September programs. There's information about our fall float trips that are coming up in October, and then the Hike It program, which starts next week for us.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that. What is going on as we head into the month of September? Again, eventually the fall weather is going to settle in. It's certainly not here yet.
I know.
But
hopefully
when
soon.
It does, there's plenty of things to do. Get out in the great outdoors once autumn is here.
Right. And so, yeah, just talking a little bit about our Hike It program. So this is our 10th year that we're having that. And so those unfamiliar, it starts the beginning of September. It runs through the end of November. And I come up with 11 different trails through our park system and then through some of the village parks. You've got all those 3 months to hike at your leisure. You don't have to meet anybody to mark it off that you were there. It ranges from, maybe half mile, and then I'm using the large reservoir this year, so a 4 mile if you're feeling adventurous.
Okay.
But again, that's why we do 8 out of the 11, so if you can't walk long distances. We've got a complimentary walking stick at the park office, but our maps and information will also be online for those that have done it before. And if you want at the end, you can turn in your form, and then we'll kind of pre-order our medallions at the end. So it's just, fall is a great time. I love fall. Mm. It's my favorite season. The weather's cooler. You've got the fall colors. Hopefully a little less insect activity out there for you.
Right.
And it's a great way to not only, again, visit our parks, but maybe some of the village ones and places you haven't gone before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I give you all information, where you should park, what kind of trail it is, if there's restrooms or not at some of these places. So everything's kind of laid out. So our Hike It program, again, online, or you can stop by the office and get a packet of information.
And you've got info on that here at the fair as well?
Just kind of information. I list where our trails are going to be, but everything starts September 3rd.
And one of the things, as you mentioned, that's a great opportunity to maybe discover a park that you haven't been to before. You also here have information on, you know, what parks there are in Hancock County. There may be more than what people realize.
Right, and we're going to
be... the big ones, but,
right,
you know,
everybody knows
so
the big ones, but we have some different river access sites that you might be unfamiliar with. We're going to be out at the fair, kind of hit and miss with staff. I'm going to hang out this morning after this, same afternoons. I know we've got staff coming out on Saturday. Again, you know, stop by, ask your questions, kind of thing. But yeah, everything, you know, or HancockParks.com. We always talk programs. There's that program calendar, but there's also one that has parks, and it drops down, and you might be surprised of how many places and stuff that we actually take care of.
And anything else going on in the month of September you want to highlight?
Well, real quick, also, last weekend for Zonta Landing. So we are available Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for Labor Day.
Okay.
And so, you know, come on out if you've got, and everybody starts getting busy Labor Day weekend with sports, of course, coming out to the fair. But we'd love to have you out. Again, 1 o'clock till 6:30, cash or check. You know, it's $5 for half an hour. So if you haven't come out all summer or want to get that last float in, you can do that. But then we do have our fall color floats coming up. That starts in October. Information's on the website. That's set up a little different where you have to kind of like pre-register for a program. You have to do that the Friday before.
Okay.
And it's single kayaks and canoes. So there's information on that online.
The full schedule of September and really all of the autumn events is on the website,
September and October. November's not out just yet. I'm hoping to get that out this week. But, all right, all information. We've got some archery programs. We're going to be out at the McInnes House this weekend on Sunday. Oh. Talking about passenger pigeons. So
passenger pigeons.
Right. So it would have been obviously something we know is extinct now. And actually on September 1st, back in 1914, was the last one passed away here in Ohio at the Cincinnati Zoo. But just how, you know, McInnes is back in the 1840s, would have used it. You hear about them blacking out the skies. There were so many.
Yeah.
They could get bounties on them. You know, it would have been a food source. So just kind of talking about that.
Really? Would have been a food source?
Well, yeah, people can eat doves and things
now,
if you think of it that way. So,
and at the time, they were plentiful.
They were plentiful. So, I mean, I don't know size-wise compared to, like, our mourning dove. You might have to get quite a few, depending on your family
That's
size.
That's what I was, you know, that was my first thought, is that...
You probably would have had to. But, again, think of those families that maybe, you know, like... Hunting, fishing, like anything else, you just have to go out and find your food. And if it was readily available, that might
that
have been something.
It would have been a lot more of, you know, you eat what you have available, I guess.
Exactly. So, you know, we obviously won't have any there to show.
I always love
the
living history programs at the McInnes House. Yes. It's really fascinating to step back in time like that.
And hopefully the weather will be a little bit cooler. We were out there this past Sunday.
Because they don't have air conditioning.
They don't. And it was it was toasty. We were out there on Sunday for sure. But we'd love to have you come out again 1 to 4 this Sunday.
And Lützenburg, after some upgrades, completely reopened now.
Right. We've got our new fire pits in the rings, the new walkways, the parking lot, and then with that being all done, Autumn Fest is returning this fall. So that information's on the website, October 19th, that Saturday.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'd love to have you come visit the parks and check out what we've been up to.
So we know when we have you back to talk about October programs, that's one thing that we'll be talking about.
Sure.
Again, Michelle Rumschlag is here from the Hancock Park District. Again, you are there in the conservation tent, which is right next to the merchants.
Yes, kind of between the two merchant buildings. And so, information will be there all week. But again, staff will kind of be hit and miss this week.
Okay.
So stop by, and we'd love to see you.
And we've got the info on our webpage as well. Michelle, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
And that is today's podcast from opening day of the Hancock County Fair. You can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show, of course, at our webpage. Go to goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow, we're back at the fair for Veterans Day. Hancock County Veterans Service Officer Nicole Coleman will talk about all the special things that are happening just for those who have served on day two of the Hancock County Fair. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.